Welcome to the new Work Your Way Up, a podcast channel for everyone thriving and striving to climb up the corporate ladder, start and run a business, or juggle both. You'll hear about the wins, challenges, what ifs, and could have been of people coming from different walks of life. Join Angel as she shares insights from guests and her own corporate and business adventure. If you're ready for some nuggets of wisdom, let's get started.
Hey there, it's Angel. You probably already know this, but I'm still gonna mention it. According to Forbes, employees who stay in companies longer than 2 years get paid 50% less. This is the reason why many employees hop from one company to another every 2 to 3 years in order to get a 20 to 40% increase. That's a huge difference in comparison to the usual salary increase that most companies give, which is just around 3 to 5%. And, you know, nowadays it can barely cover inflation. Now I understand that there are so many reasons that you can find online as to why companies are unable, or maybe not unable, but don't give the same amount of increase to employees to stay longer in the organization versus to when they hop from one company to another. And some of it can be actually classified as those outside your control, and then some are within your control. And because my goal in this podcast is to give you actionable items at the end of this episode in order to find a workaround and negotiate higher salary increase with your employer, we're going to focus on things that are within your control. And the reason why I want to focus on that area is because I understand that sometimes we join a company and we really like the culture, we love our colleagues, we love the role that we have, and also we share the same purpose with the organization. And when you find that kind of company, you almost don't want to leave it. However, I also understand that each one of us has a financial goal. So there's also, on the other end, you don't want to sacrifice your financial freedom. And so you're kind of torn as to how you can keep this really amazing company and at the same time also get the much needed increase that you want. And that is why we will be removing out of the equation reasons like having terrible managers or leaders, because that could also be a reason why some companies are not necessarily unable, but just don't want to give higher pay to their team members. The second one is some companies just intentionally undervalue their team members, thinking that they can get away with it, especially if they feel like the role is very dispensable and that it can easily be replaced. So we're removing all those two out of the equation, and we'll just focus on things that are within your control and things that you can probably change in order to negotiate a higher salary increase. The advice that I'm about to give you is based on strategic meetings that we conduct within our own company. I work in a medium-sized company as an executive, and we do a lot of discussions about salary reviews of team members. At the same time, we also work closely with CEOs, managing directors, and founders of other small to medium-sized companies in Australia. And so I kind of have a really good understanding and experience when it comes to what really happens in the meeting room or in the boardroom every time these executives or the management talk about performance review and salary review. And if there's one thing I would like to give you as a heads up, it's that business leaders don't really use loyalty as a basis for salary increase. And the reason I mention that is because a lot of my conversations with team members, most of it, they would use the card of, I've been in this company for X number of months or for X number of years, or I have been in this role for a very long time, and I think that I deserve a salary increase. In the eyes of the employee, that makes sense, but in the eyes of the stakeholders and the business leaders and those who run the show or the operations, it could make sense, but most of the time, it won't, especially if we're unable to provide a value around it. Speaking of value, that is actually the first advice that I want to say. More than hard work, companies want to see increase in value. Many employees tend to focus on working hard. They believe that when they do the same things but twice the volume, that they're able to negotiate a higher salary. But the problem with this setup is that, yes, you're actually doing more work, but then you're not necessarily providing more value. Most of the time, whenever you do this, you're just allowing your leader to see that you're someone they can rely on when they need to get more things done. The problem with this role is that most of the time, it's actually tagged as dispensable, meaning that they can easily train someone who can do the same thing if ever they needed more help. If you compare it to someone who is able to provide value, for example, if you're processing insurance claims and you're just there to process as many claims as you can, thinking that it can help you boost your career, but then there's one person who looks at the entire system and tries to automate a few things in order to maybe reduce errors or just make things or make the processing time faster, that person is able to provide value, can easily outperform you. And the reason for that is because they didn't just completed more tasks, they also were able to introduce cost savings to the company. And automation is something that not every rank and file or associate can do. And so in a way, that person is actually showing their leadership skills as well and their initiative and way of thinking outside the box by automating the process. So the key thing here is don't do more of what you're already doing. Instead, do something different. Create something or initiate something that not all of your colleagues of the same level can do. If everyone else is really good at reading data and creating analytics, maybe you can excel by making sure that you're very good at storytelling or data storytelling, or you're really good at presentation or preparing the PowerPoint presentation. So make sure that there is a new skill that you can learn that not many of your colleagues can do. That's the huge difference between productivity and value. And most of the time, business leaders focus more on people who can provide more value than people who can be more productive. I remember a friend who cried out to me for help last year because she's feeling lost. She's been working so hard. She's been with the company, in that company for almost a decade, working long hours, offer times here and there, stretching herself too thin. But she feels that the company hasn't really recognized her. She feels that the increase she's getting year on year has been very minimal. And at first, I felt bad for her. I was frustrated because she's not getting the recognition that she deserves. But also, on the flip side, I tried to understand the thought process of the business leader who's running the company. So I tried to ask more questions on her experience and the things that she's been doing for the business. And she said that she's actually doing the same thing since 10 years ago. She would learn some minor tasks here and there, but mostly it's related to admin support. So for the past 10 years, she's just doing the same things. She hasn't adapted well to technology. She still uses pen and paper. She hasn't initiated any streamlining process. She hasn't even mastered leadership. She hasn't created any new initiative in the overall operations of the business to further improve it. She hasn't done anything at all in related to that. She just focused on her own role and doing the same things and just aimed to be as productive as she can. For me, it deserves recognition. Her loyalty deserves recognition. But if we talk about salary increases of 20 to 40%, like many people aim to get, this could not be something that the owner can easily see right away. She's technically filling the same role. And so the best thing that a company can do is to give her minimal salary increase that could just cover inflation and nothing else. Unless she starts providing more value, unless she starts automating things or developing more leaders or maybe changing a few systems in order to optimize the operations. So even if I feel for her, the advice that I gave her is she really needs to learn something new. She needs to offer something new to the table. It's pretty much like you're selling an apple. If you are selling a piece of apple 10 years ago, it definitely would cost way less. And it would have gradual increase in its price year on year. but it's just going to be very minimal. However, if you start selling cake, for example, you replace one piece of apple into an apple cake or an apple juice, suddenly its value is changed because you're not just offering a piece of fruit. Now you're offering a product that undergone a certain process that you have developed yourself into something that can serve better value. So whenever you look at your career, I want you to remember that metaphor. Have you been selling the same apple year on year? Or are you making an effort to innovate that product and offer something new? The next thing I wanted to share is very related to the first point, and that is I want you to stop doing almost the same thing for far too long. You have to remember that regardless of your role and regardless of your industry, every role has a salary ceiling. An admin support has a salary ceiling. Even an executive has a salary ceiling. That's why some companies offer profit sharing to them. Directors, managing directors, senior managers, general managers, they all have a salary ceiling. And when you remember that, every time you fill a new role, the first thing you need to do apart from mastering your role is for you to have an idea of the salary ceiling. What's the maximum pay that you can get out from this salary? And what are the things that you still need to learn or master about the role? And then you use that information of the things that you still need to learn in order to get to the maximum pay. But when you feel like you're just 10 to 20% away from the maximum pay of your role, then you have to learn skills for the next level. So let's say if you're currently a supervisor and you're still 70% away from the maximum pay, there's still plenty of things that you can learn within your supervisory role that can help you get a higher salary increase. But when you're just 10 to 15% away from the maximum pay, you have to start learning skills for a managerial role. Even if you're not yet paid to do that, you have to start honing it because it won't really take you just overnight or a few days to master those kinds of skills like reporting or client management or maybe workforce management and capacity management. All those kind of skills for the next level needs to be learned at least 1 to 2 years ahead. In the early years of my career, what I would usually do are either of these two things. So if I have been in the role for, let's say, 18 months and I feel like I've already mastered the tasks, I would either automate some of the things to free myself up and so that I have time to learn new skills, or I would recommend to the owner or to my manager that they need to hire maybe someone junior, could be an intern, could be a fresh graduate, so to work on the easy tasks that I have been doing and for me to start learning more complex tasks without asking for a salary increase yet. Because I know that as soon as I have mastered the new skills, I can then negotiate a higher salary. In line with that, I wanted to tell you that you really need to make sure that you're able to master that new skill that you've just acquired before you negotiate your salary. A lot of team members tend to negotiate salary even before they have honed that skill. So for example, if they were given a supervisory role, and it's kind of like in a testing phase, like the company still doesn't know if it will work or not, but then they would ask for an increase right away. The thing though is that most leaders would view it as a risk, financial risk, in the sense that if you don't work out in this role, they can't just reduce your pay. It's like a commitment, an investment that they have to make. And so you need to give them the confidence that you can do it. Before you negotiate for a salary increase, you can have a discussion with your manager or with HR in regards to if you're able to do all these tasks, can you get this pay in return? So don't stress too much on the pay side of things. Focus first on honing and mastering your skills. Provide value first because the money would come after. And that is a standard rule even outside work, even in business, even in consultancy or in coaching. Provide value first and then it will be very easy for you to negotiate salary or pay. Every time you have a discussion with your manager to talk about your pay or your career, always make sure that you know exactly what are the things that you have contributed to the team, what are the things that you have automated, insights that were implemented, insights by you that were implemented, and new skills that you have acquired. In that way, you're actually helping your manager provide value to everything that you have contributed to the team so far and to assess it in regards to what the company needs. For example, if you have mastered your skills in automation and analytics, and they know that those two skills are very much needed in the operations. However, if they hire someone new who can fulfill those tasks, it would cost them maybe, let's say, $10,000. But if they give you $2,000 increase, that would give them $8,000 savings. And then maybe for them to just hire an intern or a fresh graduate who can do the menial tasks that you have been doing so that you have more time working on much more complex tasks related to automations and analytics. If you compare that kind of negotiations and conversations to someone who would just say, I have been extending my work hours, I have been trying to complete as many cases as I can, your manager would just think, well, why don't we just hire another role to help you out? And then you lose the opportunity to negotiate a higher salary. By the way, if I haven't emphasized enough, I am not encouraging you to, because the title of this episode is Companies Provide Value, Not Loyalty, I'm not encouraging you to hop from one company to another. In fact, I have been with the same company for the past 10 years. What I'm trying to emphasize is that you don't necessarily have to change companies in order to get a higher salary. What I'm trying to share with you is that oftentimes the way employees negotiate pay is not the right way. It's not the way that speaks the language of their managers or leaders. So they get a no, not because they don't deserve it, but because they're not positioning it in a way where it becomes easier for the management to create a valuation of their role and their skills. In our company, for example, we typically just give 5 to 7% annual performance increase to our team members who are performing well. But if you have acquired new skills or you have expanded your scope of work, then most clients and executives give way much more, like even 15 to 20%. The only thing here is you need to constantly remind yourself not to get stuck with the day-to-day things and to always allot some time for career growth because new skills are your key to negotiating pay. Now, my takeaway for you today is to write down as early as now the things that you still need to learn and the skills that you need to acquire and then the next pay that you want to negotiate with your manager so that you can start working on acquiring those skills and provide all documentations that you can in order to assist your manager evaluate the financial aspect of your contributions to the company. And that's it. Thank you so much for joining me. Again, this is Angel. If you feel like this content could be of value to someone you know, please share to them the link. Also, if you can give this podcast a 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, that would really help me reach to more audience. And also, if you want to give me a follow on Instagram, that's workyourway_up. Please do so and I'll make sure to follow back. Thank you so much for hanging with me and I'll see you again next week.